paths briefly crossed. He was a sports writer for the Tennessean. I was at the Banner. I knew he was destined for bigger things, and me to sit here with you every morning.
I'm sorry about that.
No,
sorry how your life turned out, Greg.
That's okay. I'm in my comfort zone.
Okay.
Anyway, Jeff Perlman, New York Times bestselling author. He's written 9 books, and the latest, 3 Ring Circus: Kobe, Shaq, Phil, and the Crazy Years of the Lakers Dynasty. Dynasties out on the West Coast. Hey, Jeff, good morning. Thanks for joining us, man.
Morning, Jeff.
Yeah, good morning. Was it my time as the worst food and fashion writer in Nashville? My time as the worst worst high school wrestling writer, which actually feeds of my awfulness in Nashville, as you recall.
But, people don't... You were the... Food and fashion
that's
writer
a good gig,
Tennessee,
especially here in Nashville, man.
Not the...
I was a joke. It was the only job I had all day. No, I'm not kidding. If anyone listening from my Tennessean days who actually worked with me will know, I was a cocky little punk who didn't want to listen to anyone. And the Nashville Banner had a great... This is how bad I was. They gave me that job as food and fashion writer because I had interned the year before, and they liked my writing.
Mm-hmm.
And they gave me the one job they had opening, food and fashion writer. Nikki Pendleton was a food writer
sure.
at the Nashville Banner.
Nikki's a buddy.
Nikki is a great writer, like a great, great writer. And I would talk trash to her over inner office memos. And I would be like, I'm so much better than you. I'm going to kick your ass. And I didn't know how to cook a freaking, I didn't know how to properly cut open a watermelon. And I'm telling Nikki Pendleton that I'm better than her. I was so insufferable that if no one buys my book, it is fair payback.
Well, I think this book is obviously going to sell a lot because, that whole Laker thing, right, Greg, was so intriguing because for me, Jeff, it feels like there's 3 sides of this story, not 2 sides. There's Kobe's side, God bless the dead, Shaq's side, and Phil's side. Is that pretty much how it went?
That's what the 3 ring circus for the title.
So basically, it seems like all 3 individuals have their own ideas about what went down and why that dynasty broke down.
I would actually say there's, this is going to sound corny, but, I love, the Nick Van Exel side also, and the J.R. Ryder side, and Dennis Rodman there for a brief period, and Del Harris coaching the team. People forget the number of characters who came and went during that, because I wrote 96 to 04 at the time I covered. But, of course, the Shaq Kobe thing was intense, and the difference that Phil Jackson made when he came and sort of shooting over this hostile environment that these 2 superstars who just didn't get along kind of put him through. So, I think it's accurate. It's certainly accurate to say the headliners, the marquee guys, are those 3.
Just they were. It was almost like, hey, we can do it together, but we really the dynamic of it is that each one of them thought they were better of the part. Is that fair?
I think that is fair. There's a there's one play that kind of people use when they do highlight reels of that time period. Then it's against the Portland Trail Blazers in the playoffs.
I know where you're going with this.
You've seen it. Yeah, yep. The alley-oop from Kobe to Shaq.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that's interesting about it is it almost never those plays rarely happened. 99 out of 100 times, Kobe has that ball, Shaq is calling for the alley-oop, Kobe shoots. Maybe Kobe makes it, maybe Kobe misses. If he misses, a timeout follows, and Shaq says, why the F didn't you pass me the ball? And Kobe says, shut the F up, and just get your fat rear down below the basket and rebound. The beauty of that play was the rareness of the play. And the reason we see it a million times is the rareness of that play. So the reason they were able to win the number of times they did, the number one reason truly, is they were just better than you. Yes, had 2 of the 4 best players in the NBA on the court at the same time. And even though they didn't get along, they weren't buddies, they were better than you. That was the ultimate.
Listen, I'm way more of a Shaq guy than I was a Kobe guy. Again, God bless the dead. May Kobe Bryant rest in peace, I still can't believe he's gone. But I always felt Shaq was the more established player. Why, I always felt like instead of averaging 30 points a game without Shaq, why not average 24 points a game and stockpile championships? Was it that much of an ego-driven type thing, an alpha male thing where Kobe's like, I'm no sidekick, I'm the man? And how much did it have to do with, Kobe feeling that, Shaq didn't take it seriously in terms of staying in shape, in terms of, working hard and that kind of thing? Because Shaq was just so big and talented. Let's face it. A lot of people have said he didn't, as good as he was, he didn't really work all that hard because he didn't really have to.
All right. So there's a lot there.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
No. That's all good. Number one is I actually think the Shaq doesn't work hard thing was a little overblown. And part of the problem is that Kobe was one of those, he was just Jordan-esque in his drive and his determination. So anyone by comparison was going to be seen as a, why aren't you working hard? And, you know, Shaq during those years, the Hack-a-Shaq years, was just getting the snot kicked out of him over and over and over again. And those games, you know, that was a tough period still for the NBA when the guys would physically decimate you. And he was going up against the Ewings, the Olajuwons, the Robinsons, the Duncans, Mourning, Mutombo. It was a really still big, an era of big men in the NBA. So the offseason comes, and Shaq does what kind of normal people do, which is he goes back to his mansion in Orlando. I mean, normal people don't do that, but he goes right. And he sits by a pool, and he smokes cigars, and he eats cheeseburgers, and he sort of recovers and, like, lives his life. That rubbed Kobe the wrong way. Shaq's inability to hit a free throw and not really work on it definitely rubbed Kobe the wrong way. The dynamic was really one of two kind of immature young people who are always told they were the best. And if you're always told you're the best and always told you're the best, and then you show up and there's someone else who's also saying he's the best, at that age, with that lack of maturity, it tends to sort of manifest. And that's pretty much what happened. It just was two guys with huge egos who weren't ready to surrender some of it. And I agree with you. I think Kobe, again, obviously he's deceased and this comes with that, probably deserved more of the blame, that he was just unprepared emotionally to deal with that kind of thing.
New York Times best-selling author, 9 books, Jeff Perlman with us. Phil Jackson was the orchestrator. How did he manage these two?
I mean, he did a smart coach. Well, first of all, he shows up. They've been together already for 3 years, and he shows up, and it hadn't worked out so well. And here comes this guy with 6 championship rings, having coached Michael Jordan, 1-2 more rings as a Knick player. Just, you know, the reputation alone meant more than you can actually imagine. I'm not just saying that. It really did. Like, him coming along, it's like, oh, now we have this guy. It's not Del Harris. It's not Kurt Rambis. It's this guy who knows how to win and has done it many times. That was huge, just respect off the bat. Number two, he comes with this offense. We're doing the triangle offense. Tex Winter, the architect of it, is my assistant coach. Shaq, you are the centerpiece of this offense. Kobe, you are the number two. Kobe doesn't love that. But again, at this point, Kobe wants to be Michael Jordan, and here's the guy who coached Michael Jordan.
Right.
And number three, what he did really well, if you look at those teams, the locker rooms were really kind of amazing places. There was a lot of Rick Foxes and Robert Ory's and Brian Shaw's. And
the others, right? As Shaq likes to say.
But they were really good component players. They weren't great players anymore. Most of them were, you know, 2 or 3 years past their primes. But they were guys who really knew how to patrol a locker room. And Phil Jackson let him do that. Like, he actually let the players patrol their own locker room, and that was huge.
You know, and the other thing about Phil, I mean, he wrote in his book that he got to the point where he couldn't deal with Kobe anymore. He leaves and then comes back and coaches him to 2 more championships. I'm sure Jeannie Buss had a lot to do with that. But, you know, how much did Phil have to change, you know, his line of thinking to deal with these massive egos? Obviously, he dealt with Michael, Scotty, Dennis Rodman in his Chicago days. But, you know, you got to be a special kind of person to deal with these kind of alpha males, no?
I think so. He's really – I spent 8 hours with Phil in Montana. It was one of the coolest experiences.
Oh, I can only imagine.
It was just really neat. And, you know, like, he's very chill, and he's very serene. He has a serenity about him. There's no doubt about it. It's not an act. He just has a serenity about him. And I think when all that is going on, like, Kurt Rambis was a coach before Phil. And Kurt is a really nice guy and a smart basketball guy. But he definitely coddled Kobe, and that definitely rubbed people the wrong way, especially Shaq. Why are you coddling him? And Phil Jackson comes, and he just kind of rises above it. Like, he just rose above. And that ability to do that and be like, I'm not going to let you guys ruin me. This is not impacting me in the way you probably think it will. I am more mature than this, and you need to be more mature than that too. I just think that went a really long way. I really do.
If they'd have stayed together, how many more championships do you think they would have won? I mean, you know, it's funny. They won 3 in a row, but I think a lot of basketball fans feel shortchanged because they probably could have won maybe 2 or 3 more, maybe more.
Yeah. All right, so I'm going to give the unsexy answer. You're not going to laugh. I don't really buy it. Like, I just don't. Mainly because they were done. Like, they were done. They were about that last season. So 2003-2004 season.
When he lost to Detroit? Best.
Yeah, they lose to Detroit. If you remember that season, it's an insane season. Like,
yeah.
So Kobe is flying back and forth to Eagle, Colorado because of the rape allegations in the case. Shaq wants a new contract, and the Lakers won't give him one. Hmm. Phil Jackson wants a new deal and doesn't know what's going on. They have Malone and Payton there. Payton is just, you know, a pain in the ass, always has been. Malone is 40 years old. They lose to Detroit in the finals. They have a little team party after game five, just end of the season thing Jerry Buster's throwing. And Kobe talks to Kareem Rush, one of his backup guard, and he actually says to him, literally, I'm never playing with that MF-er again. Hmm. And if the Lakers had brought Shaq back, Kobe goes to the Clippers.
Wow.
And that is the ultimate dagger in the heart of Jerry Buss. You cannot lose your young star you've developed to the Los Angeles Clippers who play in the same building.
Jeff Perlman with us. Jeff, I was just looking over the books. The Bad Guys won, your book about the Mets and that dysfunction, and then Love Me, Hate Me, Barry Bonds, and The Making of an Anti-Hero, Boys Will Be Boys, of course, the Cowboys dynasty of the 90s and everything they did.
The White House.
Everything. New York Times bestseller there, The Rocket Fell to Earth, Roger Clemens, Sweetness, another New York Times bestseller, the story of Walter Payton, Showtime, of course, Gunslinger, Brett Favre, and Football for a Buck. I like the Football for a Buck thing you did with the USFL and Jeff Perlman, according, you know, of course, the dollar was the award given by the courts, and now your ninth one as well. I read something on your Twitter or Facebook or whatever. You love to write books. Why?
Oh, man. Number one, they leave you alone. Like, you're actually left alone. You sign a deal, and I mean, you know what it is. Like, when you have an editor and you're writing articles, they're always kind of hovering over you, and is this and that. And blah. Like, you write a book, you sign a book deal, and they leave you alone, and you don't hear from anybody, and you're just there for 2 years. And I also love the dig. Like, I actually really live for the dig of it all. I love finding stuff nobody else has found, and I love that you can really expand on stuff. Like you know, this is a book that you would think, oh, Shaq Kobe. But it is a lot of, you know, J.R. Ryder. It's a lot of, like, Nick Van Exel. Like, I love that I have the time with a book. Mm. You get 130,000 words, and you can actually take your time and go for a stroll. It's not like a quick run. So I really enjoy that stuff. I do.
I can imagine. Yeah, and the access that you get, how difficult is that to get? You know, to sit these you know, subjects and individuals down and get the information you need to write the book.
It's one of the big challenges of it. And this one, Kobe didn't talk. Kobe was alive and he didn't talk. Mm. And I was told early on it'd be really hard to get him. I think a part of it is the whole Eagle Colorado thing, which hangs over it.
Sure.
I understand it.
Sure.
You know, it's a lot of freaking phone calls. It's a lot of, I mean, I literally didn't have a phone number for J.R. Ryder, who was on the team for years, so I drove out to Arizona and knocked on his door and hoped I could get an interview.
He didn't whip your ass? That was pretty cool.
Oh, my God. It was scary.
J.R.'s from Oakland now. You got to be careful, bro.
So J.R. Ryder is my favorite. He, because in reporting the book, he actually, twice when he was playing, he didn't like stories that were written about him, and he went up to the reporter and he said, I know where your family lives. Mm. Like, that was your threat to them. So I drive to his house in Arizona. I knock on his door. A kid answers. I'm like, hey, J.R. Ryder here? He's like, hold on. Woman comes to the door. Hi, J.R. Ryder here? Hold on. I hear this woman and the adult male kind of yelling behind the door. And J.R. Ryder comes to the door. And he's like, who are you? I said, oh, my name's Jeff Perlman. You know, I write books and I'm doing a book. No, man. No. You do not. No, man. No. And then I had my USFL book with me. And after he comes out, first he says that behind the screen. Then he comes out and he's like, man, I'm telling you, that is not cool. That is not. What's that book you wrote? Oh, it's about the USFL. Is that the Trump League? I'm like, yeah. Huh. So what are you writing about? I'm doing a book about Shaq Kobe era. He goes, all right, man. I'll talk to you. And he didn't have time then, but he gave me his number, and I got 2 hours out of Jay already.
Wow. Yeah. I will say this, though. I do like the fact that Kobe and Shaq, you know, made up before Kobe's death, and they were really cool, and they've done a lot of interviews together, and they both said basically, you know, they own their share of some of the dysfunction that went on with the Lakers. I'm a sap for this, much like when I saw Magic Johnson and Isaiah Thomas make up on TV as well. So, you know, I'm very happy. Like I said, I'm way more of a Shaq guy than I was a Kobe guy. Again, all due respect, God bless the dead. But I am kind of glad that they, you know, after all these years said, you know what, man, we both had our parts in this, and at least we won 3 championships together.
It's so funny. I was sad for that stuff, too, all yeah. the time. Like,
I was crying when Magic and Isaiah, like, made up, and Isaiah was crying, and Magic was like, it's all right. I was bawling my eyes out, man, because I idolized those guys growing up, you know?
Wait, I swear to God, 2 of my favorite videos of all time are when Magic goes to Larry Bird's retirement ceremony at the Boston Garden, and yes. he's wearing the Celtics shirt under his Lakers duds, and Larry Bird rips his jersey open. I love that moment, and I love – there's an interview Tim Russert did with Jimmy Carter and Gerald Ford where they talked about they ran against each other in the fierceness of the election, mm-hmm. and who would have thunk they would become best friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I swear I mean this, in America right now, I just wish we had more of that.
Amen, brother.
I just wish we had more of that across all sides. So,
Jeff Perlman with us. By the way, I was looking at your bio, and John, you're an upstate New York guy.
Mm-hmm.
He's from what? What is that? Mahopac? Is that how you say it? Mahopac, right there.
Well, it's technically Mahopac.
Yeah. Mahopac.
That's pretty good.
Okay.
That's a good
yeah. yeah. Elevation. 666.
There you go.
That should explain some things for you. Elevation 666.
It's a fun place to visit, but I wouldn't want to live there. You know what I mean?
You know, I don't want to brag, but Mahopac, New York, you might know this, is the home to Henry Winkler's mother and former Seattle Mariner pitcher Dave Fleming.
So well, there we go.
I didn't know
wow.
either. I didn't know either of that.
Man,
wow.
you're hey, the respect level jumped up right now. I'm yeah. gonna start calling you Mr. Perlman after that. What do you think about the current version of the Lakers? You're out there, Huntington Beach, West Coast. You know, obviously LeBron, but Anthony Davis. Sure. Wow. Your thoughts on the Lakers right now?
I actually think – I usually don't subscribe to this because it's always kind of fluffy and not always that true, but I do think playing in this bubble without home cooking, without anything like that, I do feel like they have really used Kobe's passing or at least Kobe's legacy as an inspiration. You can see it. You certainly saw it the other night when he – you know, AD hits that shot and then mouths out, Kobe.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's given something to them. I think they're really exciting. People here are really behind this team. I will always think of LeBron James as a Cleveland Cavalier first.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure he'd be embraced out here the way he has.
Well, he wasn't at first, right?
No, but he's really handled himself well. He's really sort of become a part of L.A. He actually lives out here year-round, which helps. And, you know, he's kind of carried this team this year. And he's still – it's amazing the level that guy is playing with the mileage on his legs. It's just absolutely amazing. I think they'll win this.
Where are you at with LeBron? You know, I'm a big LeBron guy, and listen, I'm old enough to have seen Jordan's entire career, saw Kobe's entire career. Trust me, I go back and forth with Kobe fans about LeBron and et cetera, and, you know, some people think it's just about rings. You know, I tend to think it's the rings are part of it, but, you know, there's more to it than that. To me, LeBron is no worse than the second greatest player of all time. Where are you at with LeBron James overall?
I mean, you know what's funny? Like, watching The Last Dance reminded me how great Jordan was.
Yep,
like,
me too.
It was just this reminder. Holy cow, he was so good.
Yeah.
And I just can't put LeBron ahead of Jordan because Jordan really was – I mean, it's funny. People are like, oh, he played with Pippen. Yeah, he played with Pippen. But, like, look at that supporting cast he had in Chicago. It was a lot of Bill Wenningtons and Steve Kerrs and Dickie Simpkins. And, you know, wasn't like
– Will Perdue.
You know what I mean? Luke like, Longley.
Will Perdue. Yeah. Hey, come on, Lee. Don't leave out Will.
Yeah, Will Perdue. And, I mean, it was just, yeah, Vandy's Will Perdue. Like, it's just like – I just think the idea – I love LeBron. He's obviously one of the best players of all time, maybe the best. But this idea of, like, I'm going to go to Miami with D. Wade and Chris Bosh, and now L.A., we're going to clear out and we're going to get Anthony Davis. And, like – I love LeBron, but Jordan would be gagging over that kind of thing during his playing days. So I just think Jordan, and if you think about the guys he played against and the physicality of the game when he played, like playing against those Knicks with Ewing and Oakley and Anthony Mason. And I just think Jordan is at a level that is not touched.
That's fair.
Hey, Jeff, tell us about Slinging Yang.
Oh, that's my podcast. Every week, a different writer. It was named from a line that I mangled in a Lauryn Hill song. She actually says Popping Yang. And I thought she said Slinging Yang.
I was about to say Slinging Yang. What is this podcast about? Because
certain
neighborhoods where I go or I've been, Slinging Yang means something different.
Well, it usually costs you about 75 an hour, right?
No comment.
Yeah, I know. No comment on that. That is true, though. So, it's two writers talking. Always a different journalist every week. Sort of my passion play.
Sweet.
Jeff, the book, tell people how they can get it. I know all the usual places, but let you do it.
You can order it on Amazon or, Barnes & Noble, your local bookstore there. I love supporting local bookstores. And I'll tell you guys, I don't tell anyone this, but I'm actually, my next book is going to be my first cookbook, and it's going to be called Burnt Toast, and it's just going to be the one thing I learned how to do when I was a food writer in Nashville, which is burn toast.
With a foreword by Nikki Pendleton.
Hey,
spread
a little peanut butter on there. It tastes delicious.
Just scrape the burn off.
Exactly. That's what I did when I was a kid. I used to actually like burnt toast when I was a kid. I'm weird.
I just want the number of times my wife says to me, how are you ever a food writer? Or she'll say, wait, you were the food and fashion writer? I'm literally sitting here in a, basketball shorts that are outdated by 10 years and barefoot. So it is what it is.
You do what you do.
California living, baby.
Got your foot in that door. That's what you did.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Hey, Jeff.
It was a great experience.
Yeah, hey, good catching up with you, man. Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks so much for being on.
The new book, Three Ring Circus, Kobe, Shaq, Phil, and the crazy years of the Lakers dynasty. This is your 10th book, right?
No, ninth.
Not, like I said, it's your ninth book. And so, anyway, hey, thanks, Jeff. Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, Jeff.
All right, thanks for having me. Take care.